Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. You did it. You got up early, and you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And as you just heard Josh say, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So who is that? Well, that's you. You're working hard. You're making money to pay the bills, or perhaps you're working to have a better life for you and your family. You know, or perhaps you're the workforce of tomorrow and you will work and you just want to glean some information that's going to help you to be more effective and productive in your jobs. Or perhaps you worked and you're retired. You have a wealth of information to share with people. And I invite folks to call in or to email me at any time. If there's a topic you'd like to see discussed right here on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, just reach out to me. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com is my email address. And guys, I'm very active on the social media. I love saying the social media, the Google and the internets. But I'm very active. And I want you to follow me on, you just go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. Follow me on my website. My name is Pete Langlois, even though I'm Pete the Job Guy. But you can reach out to me via LinkedIn, Pete, LANGLOIS. Link in with me. And I put out, and you can find me on the InstaFace and Facebook or whatever you want to call it. It's Pete the Job Guy, real easy, at Pete the Job Guy. But guys, I put out a lot of content and information. And, you know, we call them Pete-isms, but they're designed that you read it, it takes you just a minute, and you reflect on it. And if you do these little tips that we provide periodically, it'll help you to have a better day and perhaps a better career down the road. If you're new to the show, I have my weekly contributors. I have Boston Danny, and Boston Danny is great, and he gives shout-outs to people if it's your birthday, anniversary, or perhaps you've accomplished something or someone you love or know accomplished something special. Go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. You fill out a little form, and Boston Danny will give you a shout-out like only Boston Danny can. And my other weekly contributor is Coach Larry O'Brien, and he gives leadership tips that help managers to become more effective leaders. He does a great job. We're proud to have him on the show. And as you know, each week I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people, and they share information too that's going to help you to do better in your careers. But they also tell you a little bit about their career journeys and the wonderful organizations they represent. And today is no different. I have a wonderful guest. But first, as I do each week, I like to talk just a little bit, maybe call this a monologue, if you will. And on my social media that I just talked about, I put out a message, and I think it was last week, but it said this: I believe in surrounding myself with great people that are smarter and more creative than I am. I forged a pretty solid career doing just that. And it said in the caption, I'll never be the smartest person in the room. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You see, look, where I came from, it wasn't all about being the smartest, being the richest, the best looking, the most talented. The best compliment you could give somebody where I came from was that, PETA, he's a hard worker, right? That hard work, that work ethic is something that always resonated with me and helped me. But I combined that hard work with some self-awareness and understanding how to, you know, what my strengths and weaknesses are, and it helped me to be more productive than some of the other people. You know, I read somewhere, and this is an interesting statistic I wanted to share with you. It says that people with average IQs outperform those with the highest IQs 70% of the time. And I thought to myself, well, why is that? You know, because I'm a pretty accomplished dude. You know, I'm a relatively young man in my middle 50s right here. But, you know, I worked my way up to be the chief operating officer of a company that had an annual revenue above $115 million, made over $9 million in profit or EBITDA each year. I had 37 offices and over 400 employees, and I did this for, you know, about 10 years, okay? I did this, and I am not the smartest person in the room. I hired well, and I never hired with a self-preservation mode, meaning, oh, I'm going to be afraid to hire this person because someday this person's going to take my job. Well, that's foolish. That's a kiss of death. I look for those people that are can be or have the aptitude to be better, faster, smarter than me. Right. That's what I want. Those are the people that I'm around. But I'm one of those 70%. I'm one of those people that's not the smart. It's not the smart guy. But I'm going to tell all you other folks that I'm a dummy. OK, I just know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not so good at. And I'm pretty aware of that. And it's helped me in my career. So I tell you, if you're a little down on yourself because you're not the smartest person in the room, that isn't something that's going to slow you down at all in life. I told you guys I have a great guest today. And my guest is Kelly Minnell. And I'm so proud and privileged to have her on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. But let me tell you a little bit about her. Kelly is an executive coach who specializes in emotional intelligence. And you guys have probably heard about EI by now, but this is something that's very important. She develops exceptional organizations, leaders, and talent by inspiring people to open their minds to greater possibilities for themselves and their organizations. She brings the best practices in organizational development and leading industry research on the emerging role of emotional intelligence in the workplace. Kelly started her career in human resources and later decided to apply her more analytical side to improving businesses through process and organizational change. Most recently, Kelly spent a year studying with the Goleman EI Group, founded by Daniel Goleman, for a high-end specific EI coaching certification. Working with individuals, teams, and leaders, Kelly has successfully transformed organizations and business leaders around the country. Kelly, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete
Good
the Job.
Good morning, Pete the Job Guy. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm so glad you're here. Listen, I've been chasing you down for a while. I finally got you on the schedule, and I'm proud to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure, sure. Well, tell us a little bit about how you got into the world of coaching. How did you get started?
Well, it's a really quite a bit of a simple but a long story. So I feel like I've always been a coach. Honestly, I've always been a coach. I have come from a very large Irish Catholic family of 9 children. I was the number 6th.
Oh my gosh.
And so we were all helping and coaching each other. But alongside of that, I went to, fortunately, to Rutgers University and got recruited right out of college with a series of human resources jobs, which also at the time put you in training and development and so forth. I got recruited a number more times, and fortunately, I landed in Florida working for Dolores Kessler. And those of you who know the history of Dolores Kessler in this town, it's just an amazing history of a fabulous female entrepreneur who's just enormous success. And so
may I offer this?
Do you know,
for those folks that are in Jacksonville, you've been in Jacksonville for a while. When you talk about one of the most influential people in the city of Jacksonville, Florida, one of the most accomplished female executives in Florida is Dolores Kessler. And especially in my industry, because Dolores was the CEO of AccuStaff. And she's phenomenal. So this is somebody, I didn't even know that about you, but that's exciting that you pop that name out of there, because she's the person that sits at the top of the mountain that everybody goes to for information on my industry. So that's exciting.
It is exciting. And we had an absolutely great run. We had a great time. And she has been a fantastic mentor my entire adult career here in Jacksonville. So then fortunately, I was lucky enough that when Wright Management came to Florida, I was lucky to get recruited again into that environment where we were now just coming into the 80s and the 90s, where there was a lot of, as you know, restructuring, if you remember those years, restructuring and downsizing. And so I ended up working in that area and having a lot of opportunity to coach people through job search. And so they went Gulf Life Insurance Company, Independent Insurance Life Company, I mean, First Union Bank, SunTrust Bank, and every bank and every insurance company. I've probably been in every single building on every single floor downtown of Jacksonville. And those of you who know me know you see me on your floor at some point in time.
Right, right.
So fortunately, the things have gotten a little bit better since then. During that time, however, Wright Management was in a position where it was gearing up the consulting practice. I was really lucky again that they noticed my talents, and I was able to get certified in coaching through Wright Management. And during the first wave of what we call 360s and so forth, executive coaching, and I was also on part of the team that helped codify the coaching product for the company and then roll it out nationwide. And that was really a productive series of events. And so I was early on in this coaching world and been in it ever since. So I've been really lucky. After I left Wright Management, I went out on my own and been in coaching ever since. I've been 16 years now in the marketplace. I feel really lucky. I can't believe time has just flown by so quickly.
And this is interesting because you've made a career in this space. Okay. Yeah. You've been coaching and helping people for years and years. You see so many folks that, you know, they've had a career change and then they just decide to hang a shingle and I'm going to coach. And it's like they don't have a ton. They have a wealth of knowledge maybe that they've accumulated, but, you know, from a processes and you know, I always say when you're going to take advice from somebody, take a look at that person, their credentials. Are they an expert? Because there's a lot of folks. I mean, Instagram is great because everybody's some kind of coach or they want to tell you personal wellness and they're on at the beach in a bikini and they're 20 something saying, oh, you know, and they have something very profound that they're saying. That's not the person I want to take my advice from because they're having a good day.
Right, right. Yeah. Understand completely. Yeah, right.
You know what? EI is kind of a buzzword nowadays, but what is it really? How do you define emotional intelligence?
So that is a really good question. And what I'm going to do is talk to you about one of my mentors and in the system. I'm going to talk about Daniel Goleman. He's been a mentor of mine ever since he wrote the first book in 1995, which said, emotional intelligence, why it can be more important than IQ. And to your point earlier, you talked about not being the smartest guy in the room. It doesn't matter to have a high IQ. All of the studies and surveys that have been done ever since then have demonstrated that emotional intelligence outpaces IQ for the persons who seem to be more successful. So all of the studies and work, and again, all this work is based on neuroscience and study, and that's why it's real important, to your point, to get a credentialing in these areas, because having that data and having that toolbox and having that information and research is extremely valuable.
If that came out in the mid-90s when Goleman did, he must have been pioneer and it just flipped people, that whole mind shift of the smartest, the highest IQ people.
It really did. And his homework was based on a lot of research that a lot of people did. And to give a lot of people credit, Salovey and Mayer, and there were many, many other researchers, and Gardner and so forth. And so not to subjugate any of their work, all of the work that Goleman did was to bring all that together and to make it easier for the populace to get our hands on it, because all this was deep, deep research. And what Goleman did a beautiful job of is making it interesting and popularized it so that we could understand it as business people and practitioners, right? So he was able to pull it together. Mm-hmm. So you asked me the definition. I used one of Goleman's definitions. He talked about we're being judged by a new yardstick. Not just by how smart we are or by our training or expertise, but also how well we handle ourselves and each other.
Mm.
And so that's very profound. And really, yeah. This is, again, when you look at, of course, the news and so forth, you see people who, you know, the CEOs that get into their position, they might get into their position because of their IQ or their specific technical expertise. And then how many of them end up leaving? And there's recently been a rash of a lot of CEOs that have left their positions. And why did they leave those positions? And if you look at a competency matrix for emotional intelligence, you can pretty much pinpoint, anybody can pinpoint one of those areas as, wow, that's the area that there perhaps was an area of growth or development for that particular person.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I have a bunch more questions to ask you. You know, but real quick, let's take a quick break for our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
That's our show sponsor, Angie Staffing. I highly recommend you reach out to Angie for all your staffing needs. As she said, her number is 904-703-8880. That's Angie Staffing, and she's bringing back the hustle. Okay, you're here listening with my guest today, Kelly Minnell, and she is talking about emotional intelligence right now, and I'm telling you what, I'm jotting down more notes. I invite all of you to take notes. If you're old school like me, grab a pen and paper and write some things down, because you're going to learn something and possibly be able to apply some of the things to help you be a little bit better and more effective in what you do. But you're going to learn, I tell you that. If you're new school, get out your handheld device du jour, get your thumbs ready and start cranking, because when Kelly talks, people listen, because it's going to benefit you. Now Kelly, you know, why right now, why EI in the workplace? Why is it so prevalent and relevant in today's workforce?
Oh, gosh, Pete, this is such a great question. And really, it's always been relevant. It's just that I think a lot of us just didn't understand the impact it can have on so many areas of our lives until more recently. And I have to tell you, that's because a lot of the research, again, the research that's been going on. And in the Goldman EI group that I've been working with, what we've been doing is pulling a lot of that research together so that people can see it and understand it. So there's now studies on every slice of every industry now. So you can take a look at emotional intelligence and studies in pharma and in insurance, in sales, in manufacturing. Military has been a big proponent of the studies in AI. Did you know, for instance, that the military did a study and the people that were more successful recruiters in the military were those that scored higher in EI skills such as happiness and well-being? So if you think about it, if you in the past you might have said, oh, that recruiter who's going to do better might be the guy or gal that shoots straighter or jumps higher or can throw somebody over a fence. No, the person who was better at that particular function was somebody that scored higher in well-being and happiness. And that's not something that you might have intuited originally. And so this gives us enormous amount of data around effectiveness and productivity. And if you want your organization to be effective, I mean, maybe you don't, or productive, or maybe you don't, but if those are interesting to you, then these skills are central to that.
Wow. Is EI something that's limited to the business world, or does this bleed over into all elements of your life?
So I tell people, as long as if you got somebody that's breathing, then EI will apply to you.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's that is something, though. You think, my gears are turning right now because, you know, I've been a professional recruiter for, you know, 20 plus years. And, you know, there are some tests and things out there like a Myers-Briggs and things, you know, can it distinguish EI from some of these other things that are out there for a guy like me that's not the smartest and isn't as learned, so to speak, in this area?
Well, you know, you are a pretty smart guy. So what I'm talking about is these are the types of skills that actually you demonstrate a lot, Pete. You talk about hiring people that surround you with their levels of different intelligences. That's a very smart thing to do. That's actually a very EI thing to do, by the way. So, yeah, in terms of assessments, there are assessments. Goldman has one. It's called the ESCE. And you can get it through talking to a certified coach like myself. And that's a 360. It's a beautiful assessment. And it gives you the opportunity to see the whole matrix of competencies that you could say, oh, my gosh, this is an area this person's really strong. For instance, empathy, for instance, would be an area that they could talk about being strong in. Emotional self-control, which, by the way, is a very popular area that people like to talk about. You could see whether somebody has needs in that area of development or whether they're very strong in that area. So if you can imagine, if you're running a big organization like you were in the past with multi-million dollar and staff everywhere, how beneficial it is for you to have emotional self-control, right? You don't want to go to work in a real rage one day because you've hit a red light six times and then, you know, be all fired up. We want to say, hey, that CEO, it's really helpful to have emotional self-control today, especially when things aren't going well with their EBITDA, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting is I have a section on my social media. I put it out once a quarter, and it's called the DBM Reflection. DBM stands for Don't Be Me, okay? And I expose myself. I just say, okay, one of the things I talked about, which hits exactly on what you say, as a young leader, I had one tool in my tool belt, and unfortunately, it was a club. and everything was my way. And if something wasn't right, you bang the fist on the table. And I'm shocked I didn't get fired, right? Mm-hmm. And nowadays, I probably would. But I didn't have somebody, like, I didn't have self-awareness. It was just about driving business results. I didn't know, I need to do less of this and mm-hmm. more of this. I didn't know the things I didn't know as sure. a younger leader.
Yeah.
And over the years it helped. But over the years, I called people and apologized because I was that person at a different point in my life. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I'm shocked that I had all this OJT, whereas had I met you, years ago, mm-hmm. I could have ascended faster and avoided certain pitfalls that I've, and I guess taking the Esky would be the first step.
It would be a beautiful thing. And to your point, Pete, congratulations for having this much reflection and continuing to grow this area, because really this is what EI is all about. And, the good news, I want to share something really exciting, because you've already experienced this. The good thing is that emotional intelligence can be grown from the minute that you know that you want to do it to the minute you're off the planet. So the idea is that this can grow exponentially as much as you can, as you want, willing to put the time in. I hear that a lot also from CEOs of C-suite. I say, gosh, Kelly, I wish I had met you years ago. That's often the first or second line that comes out of somebody's mouth. And what happens in organizations I'm working in now, one of their things they're doing is they're putting emerging leaders through, which I love this. So they're young, they're hungry, and they're learning that they have to balance these skills. And what you had a lot of, which we call achievement orientation, and you want to balance that with social awareness, and that's what you've learned to do over time. And so that would be an example that would probably come up on your Esky. It would come up pretty clearly, just what you said. And then you could see it for yourself. You would actually read the report and say, oh, I can see what you're talking about. I need to balance this big achievement area that I have with social awareness. Like, maybe not everybody is like me right now, right? And you've learned how to do that. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's, this is hard knocks.
Yeah.
And like I say, I wish I could have gone from A to Z. And even Z, I'm still looking at myself as a piece of clay. I need to mold myself for the next chapter that I'm writing, because, as soon as you think you know it all, you find out you don't know it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you have a long, impressive history in coaching and organizational change and helping people to perform at their peak level. And I know you've said that EI is probably the most sophisticated technology out there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I'm glad you said that. You just reminded me, I'm going to be speaking at the ATD conference in January. So if anybody's a member of ATD, it used to be called ASTD, but it's now called ATD. And in January in Jacksonville, and I believe the big meeting this year is going to be held at the public library, the big space at our Jacksonville Public Library, which I love our library. So what a beautiful space to have it. And I am going to be talking quite about that, because really we're inundated with technology, as we all talk about now all the time. And so what I'm going to be talking about is the human side of technology, and the fact that we are not, a chip, and we can't move as fast as all this beautiful equipment that we're surrounded by today, for instance. And somehow in our minds, we kind of get tricked into thinking that we should be moving that quickly, and our biology just is not moving that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I talk about, and I'll be talking about in January, is to be able to honor the biology that we're given, and then to work at the pace that's going to work best for our biology. And I keep saying biology to remind us that we're not a computer. We're not going to move as fast as the upgrade we just got on our phones.
Right.
And so it's going to be important for us to pay attention to what's going to work for us, because really when we're not in sync with our bodies, we're out of sync with each other, ourselves, and everything else. And so this doesn't look good when we're not in sync, right? Yeah. People are talking about being stressed more than ever.
You got that right. You know what, Kelly, I'd love for you to hang around for the back half of the show. That music tells us right now we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back back, all you hard workers. Wow, if you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. You need to set your alarms a little bit earlier. Get up, because this is an important part of your Sunday. You have to listen to the show. As you know, Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy is all about helping people, helping the workforce of today and tomorrow to be more effective and productive. We educate you about things that are going to help you in your career. And today, we are so fortunate because we have as our guest Kelly Manel. Kelly, woo! So glad you're here. I've been chasing her down for I don't know how long, but we finally got her on the schedule, and I'm learning so much about emotional intelligence. And, you know, I hope that, again, if you're just joining us, this is a good show to take some notes down, right? Write some things down, get some contact information here, learn what Kelly's talking about. This is going to help you, especially you leaders and emerging leaders, and even for you old dodgy leaders like me that think you know it all. The minute you think you do, you're going to have a learning moment. It's best to be on the front side of that. So Kelly, welcome back. And you know, can you give us a brief overview of emotional, the EI system? What tools can we use at work or in our lives?
Oh my gosh, what a big question. So there's so much out there. Well, first of all, if you don't have any resources and you're at home and you're, say you're parenting, for instance, I would really highly recommend to go online and look for any, go on YouTube and look for videos of Daniel Goleman, for instance, and start there. That is a really good place to start. His work is absolutely solid, and you will see very simple, easy to understand explanations of emotional intelligence. So say you have no information about it, that's a really good place to start, right? If you're a corporate executive and, for instance, you like an EI coach, you can go to Goleman EI and just ask them, go online and ask them a question, see if you can get a coach, see if you can get a short-term or long-term assignment. That's helpful as well. So there's a lot of ways to go about it. If you like to read a lot, I would say go and find Daniel Goleman's books. That's a good start. And also anybody that Goleman references. So, for instance, he did the he designed the assessment with Richard Boyatzitz. And Richard Boyatzitz's work is absolutely beautiful. He's written work on The Resonant Leadership. It's one of my favorite all-time leadership books. And so anybody that he references is a good person also to take a look at. And so those are good ways to get started. If you want to take an assessment, somebody can call me and I can direct you to where you could do that. I'm very happy to make referrals or to help people myself. So when you talk about sort of the components, can I talk about this
a
little bit?
Please do, okay. Yes.
So when people say, what is involved in this? Like, what are the little bits and pieces? And I'll describe them as self-awareness. You talked about it and you made several references to self-awareness. And emotional self-awareness is the biggest rock in this area. And if anybody wants to start anywhere, that's pretty much where everybody's got to start anyway. When companies call me and say they want team building, I say, great, let's go to self-awareness, because we can't build a team unless we're aware of self. Does that make sense?
It does.
I mean, it makes sense after you say it, but it doesn't always make sense ahead of time,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So then we move into what we call self-management. And self-management involves the notion of, oh, now that I know a little bit about myself and how I'm coming to this, how do I manage my own emotions? How do I identify and manage my own emotions, whether they're high or low or wherever they are? And we all, as biological creatures, have a whole bunch of them, and sometimes a lot of them at the same time, which sometimes is, that's why it makes it difficult to manage, right? Then once we've got a grip on that, then there's what we call social awareness. That means now there's other people in the room, and we have to look around and say, oh my gosh, there's Josh, there's Pete, there's other people here, and I really need to manage within that framework. And that is then that next step, right? And then we have the last step, which is a lot of what you refer to as that relationship management. There's a lot of people I've got to be involved with here. There's teams. There's influence I want to have on my team. I need to coach and mentor some people on my team. I need to inspire some. These are the more advanced skills. And as you can see, they sort of build upon themselves. You start with self, and then you move out. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And, you know, we talk a little bit about credentials and making sure that if you're going to learn from somebody or you seek the advice from somebody, make sure you're an expert. You get your advice from an expert. And you mentioned Daniel Goleman. You, from a credentialing standpoint, you've trained directly under him in a very intense program for a year or so. Is that right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and Gomini Eye is now run by Michelle Navarez, and she's a brilliant leader. And, of course, the team of faculty that she has selected are just geniuses. And so they all have done their work in this area. And so they're just the smartest collection of people that have deep roots in the emotional intelligence arena and mindfulness, by the way. So that's another bit that's involved in this. And so I really encourage anybody who's looking for somebody in this area to just ask them what their credentials are and just be clear that there are some meat to it, right? I think it's really, really important.
Okay, that's great. Oh, wait a second. That music's telling us right there it's time for lightning round. Bing, 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 bing. You didn't know, Kelly, that you were going to play lightning round today, but surprise, this is where we play trivia. You against Josh. The first person to get three correct answers is the winner. Today's selection for the trivia is dog trivia. First up is Kelly. Kelly, what dog breed has a black tongue?
Oh, my gosh. I have no idea.
Nope. Josh?
Chow.
It is. Oh. It's the chow. Chow.
He's going to kill me.
My dog is part chow. What are the odds?
One to nothing. Josh, you're up, but Kelly gets to answer this one, too, and it's whoever is the closest wins this one. Josh, how old was the world's oldest dog when it died?
22.
22. And Kelly?
23.
Kelly wins. She's
one to one.
Bob
Barker.
I'm Bob Barker.
The oldest dog when it died was 29 years old,
oh.
And it was an Australian cattle dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So this goes to Kelly. Kelly, what breed of dog is Snoopy from the Charlie Brown series?
Oh, my gosh. I think he's the emotional intelligent dog. That's what I remember.
It's your logo?
Yeah.
The, Josh?
I would guess a Jack Russell Terrier.
Yeah, he was a Beagle.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
the ears.
Man.
The ears.
Okay, and this, Josh, this is your...
I'm here.
You know what? Let's go to this one. Since we're right down. What breed was Scooby-Doo?
Oh, he was a Great Dane. He was a human from Boston, apparently. A Great Dane.
He was a Great Dane. All Josh
right.
is winning 2-1. Okay, and let's see.
Apparently, I know my breeds today.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this one, you know, none of these are easy, but Kelly, dog or cat? What has more taste buds?
I thought you were going to stop at that. Dog
really?
Or cat?
Dog or cat. Yeah. Which one has more taste buds?
Yes.
Oh, definitely dogs.
Yes, you're definitely correct.
Yeah.
2-2.
Two
Josh,
to two.
This is for the win. Yeah, let's see. Smallest dog breed.
The hummingbird dog.
That is incorrect.
Oh, my gosh. There's something called a teacup.
Oh.
Teacup say something it. Or other, like a little teacup chihuahuas.
Yeah!
Is that it?
That
I've been hustled.
They're little.
Kelly is the winner.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I won that one.
All right. Kelly is the winner on Lightning Round.
Congratulations, Kelly.
Kelly, you know, you've talked a lot about emotional intelligence. If people want to go out, do you have a website? How can they learn more about you and get in touch with you? Let's get the contact information
sure, yeah.
out there.
So my email is the best, and I'm always teaching a class. So just be please forgiving to me because I will answer my email sometimes at 10 o'clock at night. So my email is kmannel at imagepartners.net. And I have a website, Image Partners. And so that you'd be able to find me LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn as well, as you mentioned as well. So I could be found at all those places.
Kelly, can you come back in January? I really want to have you back
I'd
on
love
the show.
To. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
Good.
Maybe we could talk more about what we talked about that intelligence of ATD we're going to be talking a lot more about.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? I'm going to have a lot of information up on my website. And if you didn't listen to the show in its entirety, folks, you can listen. You'll want to hear this. You just go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. And tomorrow or Tuesday, I will have this whole broadcast uploaded as a podcast on my website, and we'll make sure you can listen to it because it's one you don't want to miss. Kelly, thank you for spending your Sunday morning
thank
with
you.
Us on
It was a
on
pleasure. Absolutely. Thanks, Josh.
All right. Now we're going to go into one of my favorite parts of this show. This is where we get our leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Coach Larry is Larry and O'Brien. He's the chief learning officer for Mendoza and O'Brien. You can always go to MendozaandO'Brien.com for more information or to engage Larry directly. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
It's that time of year, the dreaded performance appraisal. So, are you ready? Did you write clear goals at the beginning of the year? Did you give feedback on performance along the way? Do you have examples of performance that was above expectations and below expectations? Then what are you worried about? Oh, yeah, having the conversation. What are your conversations like? I remember that my conversations often ended up like negotiating a deal or a contract. Okay, I will omit the phrase delivered work late on 8 occasions if you accept a lower rating for that particular goal. Very good. Now, I will not budge on the final rating. However, in lieu of your request, I will add the lie that Michael is a pleasure to work with and he has a positive future in this organization. Or really, what I wanted to say was, please take Michael away from me when he posed for an internal transfer because I don't want the hassle. So clearly, I've learned a lot and changed a lot from when I first started giving performance appraisals, and a lot has changed in the performance review process. Today, I want to talk about how to have a performance review conversation that leverages neuroscience, which will create an approach response as opposed to an avoid response. What do we mean by approach versus avoid? The brain is programmed to minimize threats and maximize rewards. Performance review conversations can be perceived as threatening. And when the brain feels threatened, people are less likely to be open, collaborative, generate ideas, and even make decisions. So how do we create this reward response where the performance review conversation feels like, well, a conversation? David Rock is a neuroscientist, and he created the SCARF acronym, which identifies 5 specific areas or needs that create either a threat or reward response. SCARF stands for status, certainty, autonomy, relatedness, or the feeling of having a connection with a person, and fairness. I'm not going to go deep into each one because I've done that in the past in a previous podcast, and you can look that up. But how do we implement these 5 dimensions in our performance review conversations? So here are your 5 tips for having positive performance appraisal conversations. For status, I might share that the person is a valuable member of the team, or I could emphasize what their strengths are, and without being disingenuous, of course. We create a threat response when we compare that person or rank that person with other people on the team. That negatively impacts their status. For certainty, it's important that people know where they stand. Don't be ambiguous. If they need to improve, share that clearly and share that you are confident that they can improve. We create a threat response when we avoid having the difficult conversations or blow things off. For autonomy, it's important that the person creates their own improvement plan, or at least contribute to it, or they have more of a say about how the work gets done and what gets done. As leaders, we have to be comfortable with letting go. Our way may not be the best way or the only way. We create threat responses when, even with the poorest performers, we don't let them have a say in their improvement plan. Relatedness is about building trust. Here we need to separate the performance from the person. Make sure you don't get personal with your constructive feedback, meaning don't judge them as a bad person. If people are performing poorly, you know it, and the rest of the team knows it. As a result, the poor performer will start to feel threatened, and then they will perform worse because the brain is not at its best. To create an approach response, you can share what you respect about them, what you like about them. There's always something that you can find that's positive. Finally, for fairness, it's important that the person feel heard, paraphrase, show genuine empathy. Also, there may be some bias you have and something you don't know, so you need to be open to it. You're going to create a threat response if you shut the person down, say things like, you know, it is what it is, or I wanted to give you a better rating, but I couldn't. And if something is not fair, as leaders, you have the responsibility to make it right. That's it. 5 tips for having a better performance review conversations. Remember, use the SCARF model. And if you're looking for training on performance appraisal best practices, please reach out to me at MendozaAndO'Brien.com.
And another gem from Coach Larry, using the scarf model, the 5 points, all that great information. Why does Larry do this? Well, he does it to help you. And if you want to get more detailed information, which I highly recommend you do, you go to MendozaAndO'Brien.com and engage Coach Larry O'Brien, because he is at the top of the mountain. He sure is a great guy. I've known him for over 25 years, and I'm pleased as punch to have him as a weekly contributor on my show. Well, guys, it's now time to take a quick break for our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything: accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
All right, and that's a message from my show sponsor, Angie's Staffing. If you have any staffing needs, I highly recommend you reach out to Angie's Staffing. With 20 years experience right here in Jacksonville, Florida, her number is 904-703-8880. That's 8880. And Angie is bringing back the hustle, so give her a call. All right, proud to have her as the show sponsor. Guys, if you missed my guest earlier, my gosh, Kelly Minnell is, she is great as a coach, helping companies and people to perform at their peak level through emotional intelligence. Wow, I mean, she is something else. I was proud to get her on. It took me a while, but we got her on, and we're going to have her back probably in late January. We're pretty booked up until then, but as soon as I doggone have an opening, we're going to bring Kelly back, because she is that good, and she's got something that a big announcement she's going to have for us too. If you want to listen to my show in its entirety, which I highly recommend you do, you go to my website, and that is PeteTheJobGuy.com. Very easy. You have a couple of choices. You click on radio show, and then click on episodes, and you can listen to all of the episodes that I've had, all the great guests that share information that will help you. They give you tips, career advice, and they talk about workforce-related topics, but they also tell you about the great organizations that they represent. And, you know, you can always go out there and listen. Even if you want to listen to just Coach Larry's segment, you can go to Weekly Contributors. You go to Coach Larry or Leadership Lessons from Larry, and you can isolate and pick what you want to hear. It's a great way to do it. It's set up well. After the show airs every Sunday, we put the podcast up. It's usually Monday afternoon or Tuesday or so. We get it up on the website, and you'll be able to listen to all my shows in perpetuity, because they're all out there. Guys, I highly recommend that you follow me or link in with me on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, it's very simple. Pete Langlois. My last name is LANGLOIS. Go ahead and link in with me. Follow me on social media, whether it's Instagram at Pete the Job Guy, Facebook, Pete the Job Guy. I'm out there, and it's I ask that you follow me. And the reason why I ask that you follow me is I put out a lot of good information, a lot of content that's workforce related. It's about the jobs and careers and tips to help you to be more effective and productive. And there are little mini what we call Pete-isms with the graphic, but they're designed to help you, get you thinking through the week. And I highly recommend that you follow me on my social media. And a lot of people have been commenting. I get, yeah, Pete, your social media is fantastic. How do you? Well, I'm going to tell you, we have a social media and marketing genius that works with us, and he's considering outsourcing. So if any of you folks need some marketing from somebody that is an absolute expert, you can email me, and I'll put you in touch with them. It's Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. All right, this next part of my show is one of my favorites. This is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. Danny likes to brag about his sports teams. He tells us a little bit about the weather and something unique about Boston each week, because it's fun to hear, but the accent is what kills you. The other part of Boston Danny he does is he gives a shout out. So if you have a birthday, an anniversary, or somebody accomplished something that you're proud of, just go to Pete at PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send me an email. You can go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can fill out a form, tell us what you'd like us to say, and we'll make sure Boston Danny gives a shout-out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's Boston Update with Boston Danny.
Hey, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern Update. So hope everyone's doing good down in sunny Florida. You got all the great temperatures and down there. And we finally got our first Arctic blast up here in New England. You know, we knew it was coming, but it's always a shocker when it shows up here. We had some temperatures that were pretty brutal down in the 20s and, you know, sustained up there for it. But, you know, it was record breaking, actually. We had records that have held for over 100 years. The one in Boston was, the highest low stood since 1874. Didn't get above 29 degrees here one day last week. So, you know, we know it's coming. It's cold. We like to take our vacations down in the warm, sunny areas such as Florida. You know, you guys are my second favorite place in the world. So you'll probably be seeing me soon enough down there. But, you know, that's how it is. So, you know, we got some shout-outs here. You know, the birthdays. I want to wish a wicked happy birthday to Dan Gray, Mary Ellen Cooper, Janet White, and Bruce Natter. You know what I say, folks. It's your day. Get it done. Nobody else is going to help you out. You might as well help yourself. But, you know, enjoy it. It's your birthday. We also have an upcoming event, and Walter wants to encourage people to come to the Avenues Mall on Saturday, December 14th from 8 to 11 a.m. for the Jacksonville's Cars and Coffee. There'll be a wide range of beautiful and cool cars to check out in the parking lot by the food court. Sounds like a hoot, Walter. You know, you guys go down there, you see some nice cars. Seen a lot of them when I was down there, so check it out, have some coffee, go say hi to Walter, and, you know, have it. I'd like to give a special shout-out, folks, to the first responders. I know we all think about them every day, how everything happens. You know, they do their jobs. They're the hardest workers that you got, the police, the fire, the EMTs. You know, we just had a recent tragedy up here with the firefighters. I want you to keep them in your thoughts. You know, those guys, they do a wonderful job. They go out there, and they do it for us. Every day, they work hard, so just always think about them. First responders, they're the guys. Let's not forget our servicemen and vets. You know, I love you guys too. But you guys, Jacksonville brothers and sisters, enjoy your weekend. Peter, I'll be talking to you, and I'll talk to you next week, folks. Have fun.
All right, another gem from Boston, Danny. Oh, what a great show. My guest today was Kelly Minnell. Kelly told us a lot of information about emotional intelligence, and I invite you to go to my website. If you didn't listen to it, go ahead and listen to the podcast when we upload it in a couple of days from now. What a great show. I'm happy that you joined me this Sunday morning. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.